Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Rob, let's get this thing going. And you said it. Major League Baseball looks like they are about to make an agreement. And it looks like it'll be either 60 or 65 games, Rob.
Right.
Expanded playoffs, right? So that's eight. Is it going to be eight teams per league? It's looking like
something like that.
How do you like that? Because that's where 30 teams. That's more than half the league.
What it is basically they're trying to get away with it and doing it because, Chris, obviously these are different times, like the NBA with the 22 teams instead of just picking the 16, you know what I mean? Like,
so you don't think, though, this could be a trial run
I'm sure it is, because there's a chance of more money with more teams.
Yeah, I think they should.
They can try, but I don't want them to negate the regular season. And you got to be very careful. Baseball's different from basketball and football, Chris. Baseball has 162 games. And if you tell people don't tune in until October, they're not doing that anyway. No, that's not true. Who's watching before October? It's not true.
Come on.
I've already given you the numbers. I'm not going to get into that today.
What numbers? I'm too happy. Yeah.
I'm too happy.
You don't want the numbers.
Yeah, I'll give you the numbers.
Because the ratings have been falling.
No.
Attendance has been falling.
That's the NBA this past year. And you can make all the excuses.
I don't want to rain on your parade, but this was the first. Last year was the first year since 2015 they went below. In 15 years. Hold on, let me finish. First time in 15 years that Major League Baseball attendance, all told, was below 70 million.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
NBA, I don't want to rain on your parade. Yeah, you know, I know you're happy and you got your tutu on, your pom-poms.
It ain't about
dancing,
that. It's floating. Just that there are a lot of people out there, and I communicate with a lot of them on social media or whatever, and the feeling was the same.
A lot means three, folks.
Well, whatever it is, it's more, three more than you talk to. And since you haven't been to a game in 4 years, you can stay out of the conversation.
I went to a game with you.
Yeah, that was 3 years ago, Chris Broussard.
3 years ago. That's because we're working every night.
You're free on the weekends. I go to games all the time. But anyway, my point, let's not get sidetracked, is that I'll accept it, Chris. You know, like, I'll accept the 65 games. It's not what you want when you talk about baseball's played every day and the way the schedule normally lays out. This is a third of what we're normally used to, which will be definitely different. And you're talking about expanded playoffs where half the league makes the playoffs, 16 out of 30 teams. Which means you're just eliminating 14. I'm not that crazy about that. I was never crazy about the wild card until they modified it, and I'm cool with it. It has been a good thing. But all I cared about is that they got something done, because it would have been a catastrophe. It would have been a disaster. And I'm just going to take this World Series champion, whoever it is this year, Chris, and I'll just put it to the side. I'm not saying that there's an asterisk next to it or anything else. This will be the 2020 championship, and it'll be because of where we are and the pandemic and trying to figure this out and trying to resume some sort of normalcy in what has been a disastrous year so far.
It really has.
In this world and this country, it just has. So 2020 will always be looked at it that way, Chris. No matter what, I'm going to count it. Whoever wins, the Miami Marlins win, or Tampa Bay Rays, or whoever, New York Yankees, or the Dodgers, whoever wins, they're going to get a championship trophy, and I'll acknowledge it. We just have to make do, and even if we need to use glue, sticks, tape, whatever we have to do to hold this together for the rest of this year, I'm cool with that.
Well, look, Rob, I love the 65 games. I'm sorry. I grew up playing baseball. I liked playing baseball as much as any other sport. But I do not, let me repeat, I do not need 162 freaking games. It's 2020. We got 900 channels to watch now. We got all types of sports, all types of movies. Everything is drawing at our attention. I don't need to see 162 baseball games. Now, I know they're not going to deviate from that, certainly not by any significant number. I get it. It's about money. But I'm just saying, I'm cool with the 65 games. I mean, they're going to jam it in, so it's going to feel like the same type of 162
It's going to be every day. What they say, 65
every day.
In 70 days or whatever, right. Chris, 75
days?
It'll
be even more, right? More than they usually do as far as the frequency of playing.
Yes.
But it's going to add urgency. And look, I've said it about basketball, Rob, so it's not just like I'm doing it on baseball. Basketball would be better, I believe, if they went to like 65 games. Because, first of all, the players don't want to play 82 anymore. You know, they're load managing and all that. And I've had former players, I'm talking about guys in their late, well, 40s, saying, yo, the pace that they play at today, it is so fast that I don't know that dudes could play 82 games. Because in practice, they're like, we used to practice hard on off days. You can't do that now because the pace is so fast. So I'd love it if they went to 65 games because, again, each game would mean more. That is one reason football is so huge, because every single Sunday or Thursday night, Saturday, whenever they play, Monday night, is huge. And I know it's a different sport as far as the nature of it. You can't play as many games, but still. So I'm cool with the 65 games. I think I'll be more into the regular season. I watch some regular season, but I really get into it hardcore in the playoffs because there's meaning there. And so I like the, you know, I'm cool with this setup. And I'm fine with it. And I'm with you. Like, I agree with your philosophy of no asterisks.
No, you can't do it.
It's going to be a crazy year. Yeah. It's interesting though, Rob. Here, I mean, look. Phil Jackson brought up the asterisks when San Antonio won in, you know, 1999 when they played 50 games. 50 out of 82, though. That's still two-thirds of the season.
Right. Baseball, you're talking about a third, right?
Right. You're talking about that's like about, what, 30 NBA games, a 30-game NBA season. Does that put a damper on it to you? Because this is really going to be much different than baseball is used to, and more than any other sport, this is a really truncated season. And said, they're adding more playoff teams too.
Yeah, this is really different. And for baseball fans who are used to games every night and for an extended period of time, Chris, there will be some who will just be like, this is way too short. But given where we are, all the issues, and even they're trying to get a season in, Chris, where people are testing positive all over the map. I mean,
they really are.
They really are.
You know, but it might be, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, and I guess it hasn't been determined that you can't get it twice. But you wonder, is it better to get it now? You know, and then presumably you'll develop the antibodies. At least now there's talk that there's different strains, so maybe you have antibodies for one strain but not the others. But I don't know, is it better to get it now? And, you know, you don't have to worry about it once you start playing.
Yeah, I did, we're both not doctors. I don't know. Right. But whatever they're trying to squeeze in, and they're trying to squeeze it in, Chris, because they say potentially another thing can hit in November, right? I mean, that's what they're saying, is that another wave of this could come. So they don't want the season to drag on. They want to get it in. And the big thing is, if you end at the end of September, Chris, you can get in the playoffs and World Series, and they can reap all that money, the playoff money, which is so huge, you know that. And that's what they need to get to. And then the players can get a piece of that, the owners get paid, and everybody's happy. And then we try to look at 2021. So today, as I told you earlier, I am happy that baseball looks as if there's a path to an agreement. And I'm going to embrace it. I'm not going to look down on it. I'm not going to poo-poo it. I'm not going to have a sour puss, Chris. I'll take 60. I'll take 65. I'm good with it.
It's like a Babe Ruth's league season.
Yeah, that's what it is.
65 games in playoffs.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We've talked about it, you know, yesterday we led the show with it, I believe. Commissioner Roger Goodell saying that he encourages the team to go ahead and sign Colin Kaepernick. We had Adam Kaplan on yesterday, great reporter here for Fox Sports, covers the NFL. He said that Goodell's been pushing Cap for years. I actually had heard that, Rob, that from somebody within the NFL, that over the years, Goodell did call some teams. Not to, you know, obviously demand that you sign him, but try to talk to him about Kaepernick. You know, believe it or not, if you want, but that's what's been out there. And today...
Well, he's a lousy commissioner because he got nobody to move on it.
He didn't get anybody to move on it. Today, the biggest sign yet that maybe, just maybe, there might be a place for Colin Kaepernick in today's NFL. Most people, I think, remain skeptical, Rob, that he'll get in. I'm a little more optimistic, I think, than most. I'm not saying he definitely will, but I think there's reason to believe he could. And today, Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers, Rob Parker's L.A. Chargers, he spoke like, maybe. Here he is.
I haven't spoken with Colin. Not sure if where he's at as far as in his career, what he want to do. Colin definitely fits the style of quarterback for the system that we're going to be running. And I'm very confident and happy with the three quarterbacks that I have. But, you can never have too many people waiting on the runway.
Let me say this quick. I do know this. This is the truth. That a few years ago, the Chargers were, considering Kaepernick as well. I know that for a fact a few years ago. Now, it didn't really go anywhere. I think ownership, didn't really want to pursue it. But a few years ago, there was some interest in Cap. So I totally believe what Anthony Lynn is saying.
Chris, I am raising up from my seat.
Uh-oh. And I am is applauding. Music coming?
I'm applauding. Thank you, Anthony Lynn. Thanks for stepping up. Thanks for doing a solid and being a brother and being like, you know what? I could use this guy. I can do this. He fits. Let's forget about all the other stuff in the 3 years. He plays that system, Chris. I love this. Don't wait for the other guys to do it. Anthony Lynn, you do it. You be the one who can possibly reap the benefits. Tyrod Taylor, Chris, we've seen his act. He's fine for a little while. He doesn't turn the football over, but he's not going to get you where you're going ultimately, right? He's
right.
Not. And that's no disrespect to Tyrod Taylor. Kaepernick was an amazing quarterback in this league for three years. He plays this style. He's not 32 football years. He's 28. His body hasn't been beat up and banged up for the last 3.5-4 years, Chris. He's younger than his age as far as football years go. And I'm just glad to see Anthony Lynn, one of the few black coaches. I wrote this column, Chris, for the Shadow League when I was writing there a couple years ago. And that column was about Jim Caldwell with the Lions and Mike Tomlin with the Steelers, saying they're frat brothers with Kaepernick. If anybody should vouch for him
and me
and bring him in,
we're all frat
and you
brothers.
Right, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like they could do it. They could do it. And here's Anthony Lynn, not just like behind the scenes, Chris, or mumbling to people, on the mic. He's standing up talking on the mic. Kaepernick plays our system. He fits our system. And he admitted, I haven't talked to him yet, but if he wants to play football, we're definitely interested in this guy. I loved it. Thank you, Anthony Lynn.
Okay, I'm with you in that I like it. But how is what, like you're saying he's, you know, he's doing a brother a solid. How is this, though, any different or better than what Pete Carroll did? First of all, a couple years ago when he said, we didn't sign him because he's a starter. Probably in Pete Carroll's mind, putting it out there to some other team, look, sign this guy. He, whether you want him as a starter or not, he can still play. And then just a few, last week, Carroll goes, I don't know if it's last week, earlier this, last week, when he said, I regret not signing him, and I think he'd be an extraordinary option this year if Russell ever went down. We just got our three quarterbacks. So, again, probably in Carroll's mind, saying something, and then saying the team's called me. Now, we still don't know if that's true. I'm not calling him a liar, but he may have made that up just to, again, put it out there in the ether that, hey, Kaepernick doesn't have the cooties. He's fine to sign. Somebody should go ahead and get him if you need him. So that's my only thing. I'm fine with what Anthony Lynn did. I think you're losing me a little on that it's the brother stepping up, because in that case, the white guy, Pete Carroll, stepped up already.
No, he didn't step up. This is different.
Anthony Lynn's not saying they're going to sign him. He said we got our three quarterbacks.
No, but he does. He's being honest that there are three quarterbacks on the roster, but he could have easily said, our cupboard is full. We don't have room for him. That's not what he said. He said, I hadn't talked to him. If he wants to play, we're interested, and he plays our style. Chris, that's an open invitation there to basically
that's
be like
that much better than what Pete Carroll said he's a starter in this league.
It's way better, but how is he a starter? He hasn't played in three and a half years. He ain't no starter.
I'm talking about what he said like 2 years ago.
I'm talking about right now.
In the heat of it, when Kaepernick was still viewed as anathema
Anthony
by owners
Lynn.
In the league, Pete Carroll came out and said he's a starter in this league.
Chris,
how do you say that's not bigger than what Anthony Lynn said? He's on our radar.
Nobody said he plays our style. He's not making excuses.
He's a starter.
No, that was years ago. And the other part is, he didn't say, well, I don't know. I'm playing 3.5 years. I don't know if he can
still
play.
Neither did Carroll.
He didn't say, oh, I don't know if he wants to play or not. He didn't say we're set at quarterback. We don't have room for him. He could have said that, Chris.
He said all – play the quote back.
I haven't spoken with Colin. Not sure if where he's at as far as in his career. What do you want to do? Colin definitely fits the style of quarterback.
Did you not hear what he said before that? He said, I'm not sure what he wants to do.
That's different.
We just went off yesterday. Why is everybody saying they don't know what he wants to do? He's never given the indication that he doesn't want to play.
No.
He went to the bogus tryout last year. Everybody that's talked to him has said, he works out 5 days a week. He wants to play.
Anthony Lynn was saying, I haven't talked to him, Chris. I haven't.
Do you think there's a doubt? Is there a question in your mind that Colin wants to play?
No, but I'm talking about from his
standpoint.
But that's different from when you're talking about hiring somebody.
Stop it.
From an organization. I love what Anthony Lynn said. I think he's opened the door. No, I'm not.
I think, like what he said, too.
No,
just,
I'm not
just
forcing
don't
anything.
Give me that he's
I'm
the brother.
Telling you
he's
that
Malcolm
there's a chance.
X up in here
no,
doing
he
a
is.
Solid for the brother.
I saw Anthony Lynn. He had a black glove on and a fist raised over at the practice facility.
It's just more Chargers propaganda from Rob Park. That's what this is. I should have known. I should have been saying this 7 minutes ago. This is more Chargers, pro-Chargers propaganda from Rob Park. Parker, who I might remind all of our listeners, picked the Chargers to reach the Super Bowl last year.
And you picked
year.
The Cowboys
and
with your Dak Prescott.
The Chargers.
No, that ain't nothing about it. They were supposed to go to the Super
they
Bowl, according to you, Chris Broussard.
Yeah,
no, they were supposed
the
to go
Chargers
to the Super Bowl. They were supposed to
you
go to the
I
Super Bowl.
You and I almost won five games last year. Come
no,
on.
You ain't come close to winning
Stop
those five
it.
Games.
Stop it. I'm cool with what Anthony Lynn said. I like it. Just don't tell me he's going all Black Panther out here. He's
Man.
Not.
Anthony Lynn, my man, my brother, man. That's what I'm talking about. Let it be a brother. Go, Colin, play for a brother who got your back, who told everybody front and center, he plays our game. He plays our style. I loved every minute of it.
I'll
he
be
said,
saying
he
that
said,
you
I got
Tyrod
three quarterbacks.
Taylor was number one on my
He said,
depth
I got
chart.
Three, but he didn't close the door. He didn't say, I got three. I'm set. I wish I could bring him in.
Please.
He didn't say that.
Please.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We have it gone here today for the most part. We've had a few guests, but we haven't talked about it much ourselves. Let's go to the NBA. And a lot happening. Dwight Howard has just recently, within the last few hours, released a statement to The Athletic, Shams Charania, basically kind of clarifying that he and Kyrie and Avery Bradley and these guys are not trying to stop the players from playing. They're not trying to stop the resumption of basketball, but they just want everybody's voice to be heard. Here's a quote from Dwight in a long statement he released. As radical as Kyrie may sound, he is 100% correct. We are no longer slaves, so every man has a right to transparency in order to make sound decisions. And as Avery said, Avery Bradley, in the decisions we make, be sure we are thinking of everyone collectively and not moving based off of selfish agendas. I saw a report fly through and where I didn't see the actual story, but just a report came through that Kyrie says he feels scapegoated because he's taking a lot of heat. Kendrick Perkins has slammed Kyrie. Matt Barnes has slammed Kyrie. A lot of other Charles Barkley has slammed Kyrie. Here it is. Kyrie feels attacked. That's a direct quote. And scapegoated. And I think that's ridiculous for these guys to slam. You can disagree.
I'm right? with you,
you
Chris,
can disagree.
100% here.
But for a black athlete to stand up and recognize the power they have, I don't agree with Kyrie in trying to start a new league. And I know that I think there's been some pushback as to whether he really is trying to do that. But that I don't agree with that because I don't think you can do it. He can do it. But I have always said, and you and I both, Rob, black athletes have power and leverage, and they need to recognize it. They have power and leverage to help black people in ways that most black people do not have because of their unique skill set, in which literally no one else on the planet can do what black football players and basketball players do. And so that gives them a great leverage. They're popular in all countries of the world. They've got they're beloved by fans of all races. They're wealthy. And I don't agree that they shouldn't play this year. I think they should play, get the money, keep the salary cap from completely falling through, you know, through the floor, but make some asks of the NBA. We're talking NBA, you said it now. We're going to attack systemic racism. That's not just doing reading programs. That's nice, but it's more than that.
And it's not just wearing T-shirts.
Yes.
We've done that. Done that. Stop with the T-shirts.
And Rob, the NBA came out yesterday and said, we are going to have an action plan when we go down to Orlando to combat systemic racisms, to improve economic and educational opportunities for the black community, to make generational change. Now, maybe the NBA was already talking about that with the MBPA 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. Maybe. I'm not saying they weren't.
But all we know is that it came out now.
It came out now. And for all we know, this is a response to Avery Bradley and Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard saying, look, we need to think about this. So whether the NBA was thinking that way or not, it became public after they spoke out. And that's a good thing. So I think, you know, all this attack on Kyrie, and I get it. He said the earth is flat and he's got to deal with that. I understand it. He's got to deal with that, those repercussions. He got to deal with some of the stuff he said in the past. But the sentiment, I mean, heck, Rob, people thought Kurt Flood was crazy.
No doubt about it. When he gave up his career for free agency, yep. Chris, he yep. stepped
people
out there.
People thought Muhammad Ali was yep. crazy.
What are you doing?
And
throwing your medal,
are,
in, the,
yeah.
in the river, right?
Right. So this is, I like their sentiment. I want them to make serious asks of the NBA because the NBA and every other major corporation in America, yes, owes something to the black community. We just talked about it with Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben.
Yep.
Slaves that these people who oppressed them made money off of and denied them money off slave images. And so 250 some odd years of chattel slavery, another 100 years roughly of de facto slavery in the South with Jim Crow. Yeah. These leagues owe them something, owe the black community something. And so, and it's just having a few hundred, you know, multimillionaires in the black community doesn't make up for all that black people have gone through in this country, past and still sometimes in the present. And so to make a demand of it, the rest of these athletes need to wake up and understand their power and stop just being individualistic all the time. I hear athletes talk about, well, that's money we can make to help the black community. Let's keep it real, Rob. Some of them are doing that, but a lot of them ain't.
Exactly.
A lot of them just kicking it, partying, you know, living large on your own and doing nothing for the black community. So don't use that when you know you're not going to do anything for the black community.
Right. Don't say that. Oh, yeah, well, we could be doing this. We could be right. doing that, and ain't nothing happening.
And you think because you got your pants sagging, you keeping it real? You think because you still listen to hip-hop music, you keeping it real? Keeping it real is helping black people that need help, the masses of black people. And I don't just mean building a basketball court in the hood.
I agree. I've said that forever. Enough with the basketball court
we can hoop.
And all that.
We don't need
right.
help hooping.
How about building a factory or a plant where mom and dad could work in the neighborhood?
Thank you,
know what
Rob.
I mean?
Thank you.
I would rather see those things built, Chris, than a basketball court. I'm sorry.
No
the city
doubt.
Has parks. We got them. They don't need to be that super fancy. Some of the best players, Chris, who ever played, played on bent hoops in the park. Am I right? Come on.
Milk carton.
Yes.
You know, cartons and all that. Crates.
We got
crates.
That. We don't need all that. How about that? Putting the money into something that can definitely benefit the community.
You know, that iconic photo, Rob, that we all point to with Jim Brown, Muhammad Ali, Lou Alcindor, later Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, the one where they supported Ali. It was about 11 athletes. Bill Russell, I believe, was in it. That's a great iconic photo. But at the end of the day, other than standing by Muhammad Ali, nothing came of it communally. And Jim Brown wanted something to come of it. He wanted the top black athletes to unite and do some, you know, push economic empowerment for African Americans. And it never happened. And I'm not saying Kyrie and these guys have all the answers, because obviously they don't. And when we first heard of it, there wasn't a plan. But now they're making some asks. And the NBA is saying we're going to address these issues. How can anybody have a problem with that? How can anybody have a problem with that?
I don't know. Good question.
So, go ahead.
No, I totally agree. You're trying to make something happen here. These are extenuating circumstances, Chris, crazy times. You want to be able, things are moving all over the country. Am I right? Even if it's symbolic, things are moving.
Yep.
People are looking. Did you see the Microsoft co-creator, Chris? Him and his wife gave $120 million
to HBCUs.
Yes, to Spelman College and Morehouse. I mean,
That's the biggest donation they've ever received. Yep.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about, Chris.
That is all come about. Yes.
And I'm
not saying we're responsible because we're not, but we're contributing to the push. We've been pushing HBCUs.
We've been talking about, we've been having them on the air, talking about the responsibilities of going to play for coaches that look like you and have your best interests at hand. And we talk about it all the time, Chris. It ain't just the school. You know why they go to the big schools? Because the best players are there.
Right.
If the best players went to Howard, the scouts would go to Howard.
Hey,
I don't know why people don't understand that.
Before the big schools would take the black athletes, where were they going? They were going to the NBA and the NFL. Was going to Grambling for football players. They were going to Winston-Salem to get Earl the Pearl Monroe, right?
That's Jerry Rice where he came from.
Mississippi Valley State.
Yes.
And that's another thing. Where are the black athletes' donations to HBCUs?
And too often
all this that we doing for the black community, where is it?
You know what, Chris? It's
you give $2 million to a school you spent 6 months at.
Right. It's unbelievable.
And didn't get a lick of education and don't need your money. How about that?
They have endowments that are so huge.
Yes.
It's almost ridiculous. And here's the other thing. It's funny, Chris, because I've been working on putting together a scholarship. And what I want to do is I want outreach to try to train more African-American, Chris, baseball writers. Right?
Good.
Because I think it's important. You know, there's only a few of us who vote for the Hall of Fame, and I want to get this pipeline going. And you know what? Not only did I think, Chris, to myself, am I going to start a scholarship at Southern Connecticut State University, New Haven, but I was going to pick like a Norfolk State, a HBCU as well, and start both, Chris, a school that I went to and a school I didn't go to, because I think it's that important. And that's something I'm looking into.
That's great, man. That would be a great thing. My family has a scholarship fund in the name of my grandparents, Burley and Florence Broussard, Xavier, down in Louisiana, New Orleans, HBCU, where my parents went. All my aunts and uncles went. Several of my cousins went there. So we got to, you know, we are calling. Rob and I have been calling on the system to do things to change systemic racism. And there were intentional laws put in place that favored whites over blacks and created this substantial, astronomical wealth gap and education gap between us. And so we're calling on the system to address that. System meaning things like the NBA and its wealthy owners.
Chris,
NFL and its wealthy owners. And we're also calling on black athletes to step up as well.
Chris, I think the Philadelphia, and what people don't understand, I wish you can Google it and try to find a story. But Chris, here's a perfect example of what you're talking about. And Mellon Bank is, I don't even know if they're still around. Mellon Bank, they could have been absorbed by another bank or whatever. But a Philadelphia Inquirer did a big takeout, big special, Chris, on this, about the systematic racism that you're talking about. Do you know that they did a thing on home loans? Black people, Chris, with good credit, were turned down for home loans just because they were black.
Yep.
And they did a study and saw what was going on, and it was eye-opening. You're not talking about giving a black person with bad credit a mortgage,
right,
Chris, but white people with bad credit were able to get mortgages, and black people with good credit didn't get it. I also want to tell you this on how people do stuff and put stuff out there. I had a buddy of mine, my first job out of college. I worked in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and a guy who was a copy editor, we just got into a conversation, Chris. He was a white guy, and he said to me he had worked in York, Pennsylvania at the newspaper. And he said, what they used to tell those guys, Chris, if a crime was committed and a black person committed the crime, they had to put his picture in the paper. But if a white guy committed a crime, it was optional. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Those were the direct. Yes.
Yep.
So every time you saw a crime in the picture in the paper, but if a white guy committed crime, Chris, there might not be a picture, and you might not know by his name of his voice by the name in the paper. You see what I'm saying? But
and
he
what
told
did they
me
say,
that
Rob, a picture's worth a thousand.
Yes,
words.
He told me that is what was the policy at the paper that he worked at.
There you have it.